Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Calvary. Wow, I wasn't expecting a response. That's nice. Maybe it's from being normally I'm over with the high school students, as most of you probably know, but a lot of times it's good morning and we're here again. So thank you guys for being energetic. But my name is Juan, if you guys don't know that already. My wife and I just recently had our first child this last January, and honestly, our lives are now changed forever. It's a good thing. It's an amazing thing. I think one of my favorites so far is just some of it is just seeing how much babies change. Like every single day, there's something new. And just seeing the way that she processes the world and how she responds to worship music different than other things. It's just an amazing, amazing journey. I still think, though, out of all of that, my favorite thing is she sleeps very strangely. She lays in all sorts of weird positions, and so you'll wake up in the morning and, like, you know, her foot will be sticking straight up in the air or whatever. But at the part when she finally opens her eyes and, like, makes eye contact with you, like, giant smile that, like, almost, you know, covers her whole face. It's just kind of a precious moment, and makes waking up, for me, not the most exciting thing in the morning, but makes it a little bit more worth it to actually get up in the morning to see that smile. But yeah, from January 10th, our lives have changed forever. And it's like I said, it's a beautiful thing. It's also terrifying. I am now responsible for a small human, fully dependent on Kaylee and I for all of her life, to be fed, to be clothed, to be taken care of. And it's funny because my dad always told me, growing up, you know, you'll understand when you become a father. You know, there's just a difference in your love for her, and there's also you're going to finally understand God in a different light. And that's something that really God has been showing me through this whole process, through this whole time. There's been a lot of things that God has shown me through this. And today we're going to spend time on three things that, for me, have kind of changed my perspective on God, changed my perspective on Christianity, and just the life that we live just from the things that God has shown me through this. But I think one of the first things is just how God loves us. Like I said, my dad always told me, you'll be surprised as to how you look at God differently through this. And some of that is because we know that God is our Heavenly Father and that we're children of God. And being a child, we can kind of understand, right? There's the relationship of, like, God's my dad and, you know, takes care of me and protects me and leads me and guides me and all that. But becoming a father, becoming a parent kind of flips that, and we get to see how God looks at us. And also we get to realize that we are the small infant that mostly doesn't like anything, that is really good at pooping and crying, and that's about it. And it's funny because it's a little bit humbling to realize that in that process, we're the ones that can't take care of ourselves. But it's shown me that God's grace is more than I originally understood. But before we get started and jump into that, let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, as you've poured your grace out on us, Father, I pray that you would allow us to understand it a little bit better today. Father, that as we take this time to look to your word, to look to you, Father, that we would walk away with a better understanding of who you are. That we would walk away challenged, but that we would walk away knowing that you love us. So, Father, we pray that you would meet us here. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and start in Romans 5. Verse 1 and 2. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, so if hopefully you are ready. Just verse 1 and 2. As you turn there, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And the phrase that I really want to spend a couple minutes on, this grace in which we stand. Grace is something that I think most of us have a pretty decent grasp on definition of. Grace is God's undeserved favor towards us. He takes our broken lives and in return gives us, you know, eternal life in response. Grace is something, you know, getting something that we don't deserve. And I think that we're familiar with that. But for some reason, for me, I think possibly because I've grown up in the church and I've heard grace, you know, so many times that sometimes when we hear things over and over again, we start to stop listening. And so by the time I grew up a little bit, I started to look at grace in not a very healthy light. I started to look at God's grace towards me as something at times that almost felt like it was limited. Like I had a reservoir of grace, like I had so much charge, you know, on my battery, and the more that I used that grace, the more times that I messed up, the more times that God gave me grace, that maybe that level started going down. And so there were times where I was afraid that if I went to the Lord, is there any grace left? But that's not true. Sometimes I could have a perspective of, man, maybe grace was a one-time thing. And like, God gave me grace, but now why would he do it again? I know better this time. And slowly, without me even realizing it, I started to look at God more as an insurance agency. That God would cover me with grace, but, you know, would do it grudgingly, you know, frustrated, like, here we go, got to give him grace again. And I knew that would probably cost me, a hefty copay, and that my annual, you know, payment might go up in the process. And some of that, I think, comes from I didn't like getting in trouble as a kid. I wanted to avoid all conflict at possible, because if I didn't get in trouble, I didn't have to deal with it. And so whether that meant, you know, hiding broken things or attempting to fix broken things or just making them look like they're fixed until someone else walks by and, oh, why did you do that? That wasn't broken before, you know. As far as even my sophomore biology class, I loved that teacher, Mr. Bailey. He always would let me argue wrong questions and get points back on my tests. If I could walk in with a good enough argument and be like, no, this was a misleading question. See, you didn't think about this when you wrote that, because if you really look at it, you know, I could be right if you look at it from this perspective. And I think mostly he just gave me points so that I would leave him alone. But I've spent a lot of my life, you know, trying to avoid being in trouble or trying to avoid being wrong. And so applying that to God, there are times that when something happens, or I know that I've sinned, or I know that I need to go to the Lord, sometimes I have this idea of, man, you know, God's going to be really frustrated with me. Like, I can't go to him. I should have known better. I was literally born into Calvary Chapel. Like, why would I do this? God's going to get really sick and tired of forgiving me. He's going to get sick and tired of restoring me. But that's not true. And it wasn't until I was holding Ina and staring into her blue eyes that are fascinating, and I hope they stay blue. It was when it hit me, because I realized that I loved her in a way that I can't describe. I think those of you who are parents probably understand. There's this immediate bond that it's a love that's unique. It's not the same way that I love my wife. That doesn't mean that it's better, or it's just different. It doesn't matter what she does. She could throw up on me. Actually, she did while we were praying. So I smell like formula right now. It's not a very good smell. She can throw up on me. She can throw my glasses across the room. All of these things have happened. Scratch my face. you know, blow out a diaper, whatever, anything that happens, even if she grows up to be a snotty teenager. We're praying against that one. But, you know, even if that happens, nothing that she does is going to change my love for her. I am human. I will get frustrated. I will get angry. I will probably lose my cool. I will probably mess up in that process of being a father. I know that that's going to happen, but it never is going to change my love for her. And that's when God reminded me that that's the way that God sees us. That's the way that God loves us. Knowing full and well that we will mess up, knowing that we would have been in the crowd screaming, "Crucify him," God still chose to love us. And that no matter what I do, his love doesn't change. It's constant. And that's the thing that has literally blown my mind, because I, in light of that, when I go to the Lord saying, "God, you know, I messed up again, and Lord, you know, time after time I've sinned, and I probably should have known this one better," God's not frustrated. He's not like, "Come on, Juan, like again." He loves us through that. That doesn't mean that it comes without consequences. Obviously, there will be times that we will have to punish Ina, probably once, because she's practically perfect. But, you know, whether she messes up over and over again, sometimes there will be consequences. There'll be timeout. There'll be whatever. But that's not going to change our love for her. And in fact, I think over time, that love will grow. And that's the way that God sees us. That even if we come to him over and over again, it brings him joy that we would come to him. It brings him joy that we would surrender ourselves in understanding that we are infants that have no ability to take care of ourselves, that we have no ability to do anything. But it's God who takes care of us. This is the way that the Lord looks at us. But I think we also need to avoid one thing that can trip us up in this. Sometimes we like to attach the characteristics of our earthly fathers to our heavenly father. Unfortunately, not everyone has had the greatest dad. Some of you have had dads. Some of you have had horrible dads. I know that sometimes it's hard to take that, whether they were short, maybe they were abusive, maybe they just weren't there at all. And we want to take these characteristics, the ways that we've been hurt by our earthly fathers, and attach them to our heavenly father. But that's not who he is. And we need to look at who God is in the character that he shows us through the scripture, in the character that he shows us as he deals with us in our lives. We need to be reminded that he's compassionate, that he's loving, that he's gentle, and that he's a good father. And so I don't want us to get tripped up on that, because that can skew our idea of grace. Because if we look at, if God's not trustworthy, then why would his grace be sufficient? We need to look at God for who he really is, and knowing that he's a good father. And so that when we come to him, he will deal with us with grace, with love, and in gentleness. In the past 4.5 months, I've not only learned more about that love that God has for us, but also a couple things about myself. Unfortunately, those things about myself are less good than the things about God. I think the biggest thing is that I'm pretty selfish. Yeah, and shocker. Hard for some of you to believe. I'm not the most patient or long-suffering in the middle of the night. Turns out I greatly prefer sleeping over making bottles at 4 o'clock in the morning. My response to a dirty diaper is not always joy, and my self-control really does lack in being sleep-deprived. And sometimes I do get a little cranky, but I think, you know, none of you can relate to that. But, you know, it's something that I struggle with. But in this time, I found myself praying Galatians 5, 22 and 23 a lot. So if you want to turn there, that's our next passage. But when we can get to the point of seeing God for who he is, and relying on that grace and being willing to accept that grace, we get to a point of then needing to ask for things, needing to come to Him and ask for help. Because at that point, then I can recognize that again, that I'm the infant and that I'm the one that needs help from God. And so Galatians 5:22, probably a fairly familiar passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The thing I've been praying over and over again is really those fruits of the Spirit. Because I need those. Like I said, it's not my initial reaction to wake up in the morning with joy. You know, having been woken up, you know, really wanting that extra hour of sleep. You know, it's not always peace that I feel as we're trying to figure out why she's crying. But as I've been praying this over and over again, the Lord has showed me the second thing I want to talk about. And this one really hit me by surprise because this is a very familiar passage. I can't remember how many times, you know, I've heard the fruits of the Spirit. But something that the Lord showed me in this is that the fruits of the Spirit are less for me than they are for others. Because really, if we look at the focus of all of them, the focus is not on me. But the focus and the most benefit is for other people. Yes, I need the fruits of the Spirit in my life. I need patience for times when things are not fast or easy. I need joy so that I don't become discouraged. I need peace in order to abide with Jesus. But all of the fruits have a greater impact on other people than they do me. If we look at love, yes, I need to be filled with love so that I can be, you know, dwelling on the Lord. But if we think about love, love is how the world sees us as the Lord's. Love is what defines us as Christians. It's what sets us apart. It's what set Jesus apart. And joy and peace not only make me more fun to be around when I'm filled with joy and peace, but they also allow me to be a witness to others. When I have peace when things are hard, when I have joy when things aren't easy, it's one of the best witnessing tools. My family is better loved and served as I allow the fruits of the Spirit to be manifested in me. Because the fruits of the Spirit allow me to look more like Jesus and allow me to respond more like Him. And this is something that really kind of blew my mind. But I said one of the things that the Lord has shown me is how selfish I am. Because I've always looked at this as, Lord, I need. Which is true. We do need those things. But as we receive those, they're to be used to serve other people. They're to be used to bless those around us, to have an impact on coworkers, on those who don't believe in Jesus, to best love our families. I mean, because I know that yes, I need to be able to be there for Kaylee and Ina, but like I said before, sometimes we have a hard time looking at God as our Father because we've had bad fathers. When I'm allowing these things to be true, when I'm allowing Jesus to fill me with His Spirit and to act more like Jesus, I'm better emulating that model. I know I'm going to mess it up. I know I'm not going to be a perfect father, but when I allow these things to be in my life, when I pray them and ask the Lord to fill me with His love and with His gentleness and with His long-suffering, then I'm a better example of Jesus to my family. It's just funny how a lot of times we get so focused on ourselves and reading the word and looking at the way that God, I need, but the Lord gives so that we can be overflowing, so that we can share with others. But that leads to the third thing. Because as I respond more like Jesus, as I look more like Jesus, I also need to be a servant like Jesus. And the third thing that God really showed me, which is funny because then Gail was here like 2 weeks later. But being a servant is a lifestyle. A lot of times we read Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and we think, go Paul, you know, making tents and traveling the world, spreading the gospel, like being persecuted. Like, of course he's a bondservant of Jesus. He got it. And so we think, man, you know, wow, like following Jesus is to be a bondservant. So we take out our journals and we, you know, write it in all fancy script and maybe put a flower next to it, take a picture of it, put it on Facebook and Instagram, like, boom, I did my biblical journaling for the day. Be a bondservant. And then we go home. And if we were honest, a lot of times, if we were to write that letter, it would look more like, one, a volunteer church servant on Sundays, Wednesdays, and occasional events. Sometimes, myself included, we have a tendency to come more as volunteers, picking and choosing the things that we want to do, the things that sound good. I think I could do that. Like, you know, I like kids. I could be in the nursery. As opposed to just being willing and ready servants. Lord, use me how you want me. If you want to stretch me, go ahead. Sometimes we don't walk in like that. Or even if we manage to get out of that mindset and no, I'm not going to just be a volunteer doing the things that I want to do. Lord, I want to be a servant. A lot of times we still treat being a servant more like a jacket. It's cold outside. I better put on my jacket. Hey, I'm going to church. I'm going to this event. I'm going to show up at VBS and be a security servant. I better throw on that vest, you know? Got to make sure that I can be seen and I can do my job. And then we go home, we take off our serving jacket, sit down on the couch and, you know, turn on the game or our favorite show on Netflix. But that's not servanthood. We've been called to a lifestyle, something that's more than just being a servant off and on, something more than just showing up to church events or knowing that we're going into, you know, our workplace and I'm going to be a light for Jesus here. We've been called to be servants 24/7, all of our lives. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. The mind of Jesus being a bondservant, someone who willingly gave their lives in service to the Master. A good servant doesn't just serve when it's convenient. Bondservants didn't get to pick and choose when the Master got control over their lives. Master said, work longer, they work longer. Yeah. But something that the Lord really has shown me is that I've spent a lot of my Christian life being less like a bondservant and more like the intro of my letter, Juan, a volunteer church servant, Sundays, Wednesdays, and occasional church events. God's called us to something greater, and I think some of us, myself included, kind of have missed that point. Reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I spent a lot of time of reading, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I think about that and go, yes, Lord, I've followed your calling. I'm willing to give up my hopes and dreams. Like, if you're going to call me to wherever, like, I think I can get to the point where I'll respond. You know, you've called me into ministry. Like, all right, like, I think I can do that. You know, I originally had other plans, but, like, I'll follow you. God called me into marriage. Like, all right, like, I have no idea what this looks like, but we'll do it, Lord. Like, if you're calling me to it. And then we found out we were having a baby. And I was like, all right, Lord. I wasn't expecting that so soon, but all right. Like, if where God guides, God provides. Like, we'll do this. But the thing the Lord has been showing me is that I'm willing to give up my life in the long term, but in the short term, I'm very, very quick to hold on to it. Because if I really read that, it means that even when I've had a long day at work, I've had to love some people that are hard to love. None of your kids, other people's kids. Come home and I've cooked dinner, maybe tried to pick up a few things, and like finally get to sit down. Now it's time for me time. I need the break. You know, God esteems rest highly. 6 episodes away from finishing the season. I can make it. Perseverance. You know? But if that's my mindset, then you know, one episode in and Ina gets hungry, it's really easy for me to be like, ugh, like, Kaylee, can't you just, like, take care of it real quick? It'll be fine. Like, you know, I've had a long day. This is the first time I sat down. I've used my brain all day. It's hard, you know? Like, I've worked. You know, or maybe if I do get up, then it's like, fine, you know, and I trudge and make a bottle and here, you know, like, just eat it, whatever, you know? If we've truly died to ourselves and we live for the Lord, every second of our day is His. Every waking second. Which means if I'm sitting down to dinner and a youth calls me and says, hey, I just got kicked out of my house, it's my time to be a servant. I need to respond to that. And I go, call Rob. You know, if something happens at church in the middle of the night and I don't feel like waking up, I can't be like, it's Patrick's problem. I've done my serving for the day. Come on. It means when it's 4 in the morning and I've just barely got to sleep because I was finishing up work or whatever and Ina's crying, it doesn't mean that I can just roll over and go back to sleep. I've done my serving for the day. God has called us to a lifestyle of serving. Understanding that our lives are not our own. And this is something that's been hard. Because even if we're willing to give up the long term, I have a hard time sometimes giving up the short term and wanting to, I just need a break. I need to not have to deal with anything right now. And that doesn't mean that rest isn't good. The Lord esteems rest very highly. But rest doesn't always look like sedentary activity. Rest doesn't always look like inactivity. Some of the most restful things can be some of the greatest ministry. Because I find rest in the Lord. I find rest in Jesus. I don't find rest in staring at a box all day. But it's funny how slow we are to, or at least for me, and maybe that might be a generational thing. But it's funny how slow we are to just spend some time with the Lord and to be filled with His rest instead of just wanting to not have to do anything. Because if we're honest with ourselves, it's not a rest that satisfies. Could lock ourselves in the house all day long, watch every episode of anything we wanted to do, eat all the junk food we want, get up off the couch like twice. And by the end of the week, we'd still feel horrible and not want to go to work. That's not rest. Really what it is very self-absorbed, and I'm starting to worship myself and the things that I want to do. But God's not called me to that. God's called us to be servants 24/7, which means that when I go home, it's an opportunity to love my family. Every moment is an opportunity to be Jesus. Every moment is an opportunity to love my coworkers when I'm at work. Maybe it's easier for you to come home and be a servant to your family, but it's hard to be a servant at work. So I listen to my boss, I'm getting paid, I don't need to do anything extra. Sometimes that can be a battle of why do I need to go above and beyond? Like I'm doing what's okay. Sometimes, for me, I grew up in a small town, but I have never talked to my neighbors once. It's a very strange thing, because you think it'd be backwards. But, you know, for me to like go over and intentionally serve my neighbors, like why? Like they're just people that live next to me. I don't know them. But something also that the Lord has been kind of convicting me with is. You know, how can He use me in my neighborhood and just the people that are around me? But that would mean that I wouldn't get to go home and sit in air conditioning and, you know, do what I want to do. And I think this is the thing that the Lord is really trying to show me, and something that I wanted to share is just we've been called to a lifestyle. Not just little opportunities here and there to serve, not just little opportunities here and there to love, but that the sum of our life would be how can I serve the Lord in this moment and how can I serve others around me? It feels very backwards because I would think, well, you know, put on my own mask before the person next to me, you know. Which is true, because we can't serve out of our own strength. And that's why those fruits of the Spirit are for others. The only way that we can really serve is if we're being filled with Jesus first. But then as He fills us, I get to take that to others. And I get to be excited about it. And I get to reflect Jesus in a way that no one else can. We are all individually gifted. We each can impact people that the others can't. I don't see all the same people that you guys do. Probably none of us all sitting still. We all sitting here, none of us have the same people that we interact with. Even though we all are still here and we interact with each other, there's so many more people that you can witness to and be a light to and serve and love that I will never see. And so if we really think about that, if we all have that focus in our life of God, how can you use me in every waking moment of my day? Like, what would you have me do? Think about what the Lord can do with that. We pray for revival in our nation. I think if we all ask the Lord as to how we can best love and serve Him in every waking moment of our day, we'd be a lot closer to revival. But it leaves us with the question, are we willing? Are we willing to give up our lives? Are we willing to give up the American dream? Willing to surrender every waking moment in service to the Lord? Because if I'm honest, I look at Paul and I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I don't have that ministry, being beaten, you know, constantly being thrown in jail, having to watch my back, building tents. I'm not very good at that. You know, like, man, I'm glad that I'm in this century, like air conditioning and all these things. But like, I think, I mean, obviously Paul's not a perfect person and he had faults and he had mistakes and he needed God's grace just as much as we do, but it was that idea of being a bondservant of Christ. He was literally living, or at least attempting to live, every moment of his life in service to the Lord. And so I want to challenge us. Are we willing to live every single second of our life in service to the Lord? Even after we've come home having a long day, even after we've had a rough day, an emotional day, whatever, are we willing to serve our families? Are we willing to serve our coworkers, our neighbors, the random people we bump into at Dylan's? Are we willing to surrender our lives and let God be God and really let Him be Lord over our lives? Meaning that he has control and a say in every second. It's challenging. It's the way that God's designed it. Even though I resist it, even though we all resist it at times, we want that autonomy of, I do what I want to do. Because I'm me. But God's created us to be vessels, to be used by Him. Otherwise, when we got saved, He'd just rip us out of the world. We'd get to go to heaven right away. We're saved. That's all we got to do. But God chooses to use us. God chooses to use us in each other's lives, in the lives of people around us. It's a huge blessing that we get to be a part of God's work. I mean, look at our lives. Where we were before the Lord. Why would God choose to use us? We're messed up. But still, His grace was sufficient to mend us, to take those broken pieces and restore us. And why? Because of His love. Because of that love that is constant, because of that love that's unwavering, that's unfailing. And so those are the three things that the Lord has really been speaking to me right now. Three things that the Lord's been challenging me in. Because obviously I've not mastered any of those three. But thankfully, God's grace is sufficient. So if we look at understanding God's love and grace, hopefully we have a little bit better of an understanding of just how God looks at us and knowing that He loves us no matter what. But we have to ask ourselves, are we accepting that grace? Because like I said, as a kid, I didn't like getting in trouble. You know, the hiding broken things, the fixing broken things, trying to pretend that they're okay. I sometimes do that with my relationship with God, and I think we all do sometimes. We try to, you know, fix the things that we've messed up or pretend like they're not there. Like, no, Lord, don't look over here. It's okay. Just over here. Look at all the great things that are happening. Just don't look over there, you know. Are we willing to allow ourselves to take that, those things that we're hiding, those things that are just there, that we've messed up, that we've broken, are we willing to take those to the Lord? Are we willing to take those to the cross and let Jesus have them so that He can give us His grace and so that he can restore those things. And if we're willing to take it to the cross, are we willing to allow God to fill us? And are we okay with the fact that that might not be just about us? Because as he fills us with his love, as he fills us with his goodness and with his grace and his gentleness and his faithfulness and all of those things, we get to share those with other people. It's about other people. It's about others. Are we willing for that to be an okay answer? I do want to challenge us all that wake up in the morning and pray over Galatians 5:22. Just ask the Lord, you know, would you fill me with your long suffering? Would you make that more true in my life? Would you allow me to have more self-control? To not get so frustrated so fast? To pray those every morning and see what God does in that. How he uses that. And lastly, again, are we willing to let God have control over our lives? To really choose to be a servant in every moment. To want to love God in the best way possible and to love the people around us. And I think we need to ask God, are there any places in my life that I'm unwilling? Are there any of those places that I'm wanting to hold on to? But again, the beautiful thing is God doesn't expect us to do this on our own. It's by his grace. And so with a healthy understanding of grace, hopefully we can help share that grace with our lives as we choose to serve the Lord and serve the others in our lives. So Father, as we come before you, Lord, we pray that you would remind us of your grace and your love. Father, teach us to be more like you. Grow us, Lord, and use us. Help us fight the temptation to just focus on ourselves. Help us to fight the urge to just give up for the day. But Lord, that we would press on towards you, walking in your grace. I pray this in your name.